From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 398, recorded live Thursday, November 14th, 2013. This episode of Hansel Minutes is brought to you by Telerik, offering the best in developer tools and support, online at telerik.com. And by Franklins.net, makers of GesturePack, a powerful gesture recording and recognition system for Microsoft Kinect for Windows developers. Details at gesturepak.com. In this episode, Scott talks with James Andrew about Oculus Rift.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes, and I'm talking with James Andrew, a developer who works in Unity and is a huge, huge fan of the Oculus Rift. How's it going?
It's going very well, Scott.
You are very excited about the Oculus Rift. Tell me what that is.
Scott, I am hugely excited about it because it's the first product that actually delivers on the 20-year-old promise of virtual reality. I remember when I was younger, when I was 10, 15 years old, virtual reality was the coolest thing, and it was coming any day, and you were going to be able to get inside of these computer worlds. And Scott, I was so into it at the time that I went out and I was playing Strike Commander, a really, really great flight sim at the time, on a big CRT monitor. And I just really wanted to get into that game more. So I went out to a hardware store, and I got myself a welding mask or a safety mask, the kind that has a plastic shield on it. I went out and I took the plastic shield out and replaced it with one of those flexible Fresnel magnifying sheets that elderly people use to read with, and put it on there and would sit in front of my monitor, and the monitor would wrap around my face, and I'd be flying in this flight game in that game. And I thought that was the coolest thing, and I just wanted more of that, and I wanted to buy the real one so I could be fully in there. 20 years later, nothing really happened, but now with the Oculus Rift, it's happening really, really quickly, and it's amazing. It really is an amazing experience.
I've used the Rift a couple of times. I had one on at the Xamarin Evolve conference, and then at Maker Faire. They had a bunch of these things, and I had my dad with me at Maker Faire, and he put a Rift on and found it. He found it. He's a 65. He found it very disorienting. He was like unsteady on his feet.
Yeah, I think that is something you definitely have to deal with, and I think it depends very much on the particular experience you give someone in the Rift. I'm thinking that we might want to start labeling these experiences or the games with something like you see in skiing and snowboarding, where you got a green circle, a blue square, a black diamond, because if you're getting in a helicopter and flying around fast and you feel like you're in there, that might get you a little queasy or disoriented. Mm-hmm. So there are, however, some particular issues right now with the lower resolution and sometimes with games running at a lower frame rate. There's a lot of things that can happen that can cause this, but there are ways around it. And these effects really get less and less and disappear altogether, particularly when you get up to higher resolutions like the kind they're going to release soon.
So this is, it looks familiar. You know what I mean? It's foreign and it's crazy, but it also looks looks familiar. Like we've seen it before. It's kind of this trapezoid that sits in front of your eyes. I mean, I imagine it's almost like an iPad mini that's suspended some inches from your eyes. And as you move, of course, it's tracking you in three-dimensional space, six axis.
Mm-hmm. Well, not six axis actually yet. Because six would involve position tracking, and it doesn't actually position track. It only tracks your rotation, and that's actually an important point we could talk more about in a little bit.
Okay, so that's good to know. I want to remember that. But I remember, like you said, 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, maybe even a little longer, I remember being in the arcade where you would get into like a tank or like a mech, and you'd hold these two handles and then move this giant helmet kind of left and right as if you were the turret of the tank. And that was the closest thing that we had to VR. Why did that exist 20 years ago? And why wasn't that the beginning of it? Like nothing happened. There was just nothing going on for 20 years.
Well, there's a couple of reasons. There have been a lot of incremental improvements over the years, little by little, that have gotten us to the point where all of a sudden now you can get a display that's light enough to make this into a consumer product, for example. I mean, those the reason those things were so big is they had huge displays in them. That was one of the main reasons. But also, some of them, most of those systems were fundamentally flawed in one major respect, and that is they had really high latency or lag in their head tracking. So when you'd put one of these things on and you'd look around left or right or anywhere that you would look, there would be a little bit of a delay and it just didn't feel fully right. You walked away saying, that was cool. That was like a cool ride at Epcot or something, but it's not something that's going to change my life. But with this, with the Oculus Rift, Palmer Luckey and the guys working with him and John Carmack too, recognize what's important for creating a believable immersive experience. And one of the main things is a really low delay. We call it motion to photon latency. When you move your head a little bit, you want that pixel on the display to light up just the right way at just the right time. And if it takes too long, you can feel queasy, you can feel sick, and your brain, and therefore you, just don't buy it. And you won't buy it at the store. You don't want it. But if you get rid of these problems, all of a sudden, you just feel like you're in there, and it works. And this problem of latency even involves things on the monitor and your graphics card. There's settings in your NVIDIA control panel that if you set them wrong, you can have a bad experience. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be aware of all these things to get that latency down. And that's really one of the main things that has developed over these 20 years is the ability to put that low latency tracking in a little chip that can be driving this thing. Mm-hmm. It didn't exist 10 years ago.
That concept of latency and like it doesn't quite feel right, that rejection, it's almost like there's an uncanny valley, you know, the uncanny valley that refers to robots.
Absolutely.
You know, as robots get more and more like humans, there's a moment where it's like, that's just wrong. And I don't know why, but it's wrong. The mm-hmm. quantification of that is really interesting. I was talking to folks about scrolling on touch devices. And for the longest time, Android had a problem with scrolling. And people who were non-technical, you know, my parents, my wife, would that doesn't feel right. I don't know what it is. And it was that sense of my touch doesn't matter. There's a 5 or 10 pixels wrong before anything actually occurs. You're saying that applies to virtual reality as well. The brain will reject it as reality.
Scott, it applies immensely. I spent a very productive evening, one of the first evenings I had, the Rift, with one of the better games that's out there for it now called Lunar Flight, where you're actually sitting inside of a lunar lander and controlling all of the jets that exist on a real lunar lander in real lunar gravity, and you look around and you're there. However, I decided to experiment with various things. I said, let's turn my resolution down or my detail settings all to minimal. And that was a little bit better. But then when I also disabled, there's something very important to know about the Rift. There's something called VSync mm-hmm. that you have to have either on or off on your graphics card. It has to do with whether the screen is updated exactly 60 times a second or whether it goes as fast as it can. With this particular experience, only when I disabled that VSync and when I had lowered all the detail, my frame rate shot up, my latency was down, therefore, and looking around that cockpit, I all of a sudden just something clicked and I felt like I was in a real place. And just to make sure that I wasn't imagining it, I turned everything up to high detail so it gave it a little more lag mm-hmm. and I looked around and it was gone. It was gone. It did not feel real. So it's really an interesting phenomenon. It has yet to be explored fully.
You think that these guys who are making the Oculus Rift, though, they get that? There's some quantification of this at a mathematical level where they can understand that this is right and this is wrong, and they're prepared to get it right.
They really, really get it. Palmer gets it, and that's what John Carmack saw when he started talking with Palmer, and that's why John is the CTO of Oculus now, because mm-hmm. these guys are doing it right.
And explain physically how this works. Is it a monitor? Do I plug it into my DVI or my VGA?
Right now, there's a little base station that you plug your DVI or HDMI into, and that base station connects to your computer via a USB. And a USB cord, and it has its own power supply. From this little base station is a wire that the Rift itself is attached to. And in the Rift, behind the lenses, there's two lenses in it. Behind it is a single screen that the scene is projected onto, with half of it for the left eye and half of it for the right eye. And then the lenses take that image and project it onto the eyes to give you a compelling experience of being in that place. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the accelerometer and the gravitometer in there to detect your head's orientation.
So is this USB 3? I mean, I guess I expected I would plug this into the back of a video card and it would become a monitor, but you're saying it's USB to a box and then DVI into the device for the developer version of this.
For the developer version, there's both a DVI connection and a USB connection, and it's just USB 2, I believe.
So I do plug it into one of my video cards?
Yes, you do. It uses the video comes from the video card, but the accelerometer data goes in via USB, so it has two separate connections.
Okay, so I have three monitors here with me. One of them I'm going to lose while I have this on.
Yeah, and it gets a little bit tricky sometimes. It's not that's one of the things that's not super smooth right now is the multi-monitor experience with this. Mm-hmm. But essentially, yes, you should be able just to set this to one of your monitors.
So presumably, when this is finally released and there's a retail version, it'll be some reasonable plug-in for people who don't have multiple monitors, right? They'll solve that problem in some way that I'll be able to launch the game on my computer and then plug in the Rift and it'll just work.
I imagine that will be the case.
Okay. And you said it's stereoscopic, but it's not stereoscopic like a 3D movie where it's flipping lenses back and forth and shutting. There's no shutters or anything like that. It literally has one complete image per eye?
Yes, and all stereoscopic is not the same. These guys are doing it the right way, and you can tell. When you're dealing with the flipping of shutters or with IMAX, there's technical papers online which you can Google about stereoscopic projection techniques that explain why a lot of those techniques aren't really that good and they're not right. And yet this technique, the technique where you have a separate image for each eye completely dedicated, it's the right technique. They're doing it right, and it looks really, really great.
Mm-hmm. Now there's a developer version. There's like a $300 one. It's for devs. And then there's some theoretical future retail version that I'll presumably be able to go to Best Buy or ThinkGeek and get at some future point. Talk about resolution.
Yeah. Right now, the developer version is a 1280 by 800 screen. And they have, internally, they have a 1080p version. And the one that's going to be released is going to be at least 1080p and possibly higher than that.
Hmm. And that would, you would presume, I mean, I'm just talking, I don't have any inside knowledge here, but I'm presuming that that's going to be limited by whatever your video card can drive. So that presumably that the better your video card is, the better your Rift experience is going to be.
That is correct. I mean, you can't even, I think a 4K display requires two DVI cables at this point. So there's technological limitations at that level right now. However, I want to point out that even at 1280 by 800, it's such a fundamentally cool experience to get in this thing that it's everyone should check this out. Everyone that's a developer should get on this right now because it will change everything in the realm of gaming, at least, and a lot more too.
Mm-hmm. That's a big statement. When someone says it's going to change everything, there's a lot of people out there that are passionate about different things. I'm going to talk to someone in a couple of weeks about Bitcoin, and that individual is convinced it's going to change everything for everyone. You are bullish, to say the least, it sounds like, on the Rift. It's changing everything.
Yes, and I'm saying that based upon a number of things. One is just personal experience of the response of people that I've shown this to, particularly friends that are not typically gamers, that if I were working on something for, let's say, Xbox Live, and I was going to put out a game out there, these aren't the people that would really get into playing whatever it was I was making for the Xbox console. But when I show them this, they love it. They feel like they're actually doing something and they're not just playing a video game. So all of a sudden, the appeal of virtual experiences grows so much, that the audience grows so much, the potential audience grows so much beyond typical gamers to everyone. Everyone is going to want this.
And you don't think that it's going to be something that's going to make everyone like nauseous? Like, we're not going to find that like there's a whole class of people that just can't handle it.
I don't, although there may be rare cases, I don't think so. And apparently at higher resolution and at higher frame rates, the effects generally go away. And in my case, I did feel a little nauseated the first day I was playing around with it, but I really don't experience that anymore.
And do you think that that's your brain trying to deal with the fact that you are lying to it?
Well, you're not lying to it. I'm telling my brain truthfully, hey, here is a great synthetic experience to enjoy. I'm not trying to tell my brain, okay, you're actually in this helicopter flying over this toon-shaded city. Deal with it. It's not really like that, but there is a sense of acclimation to whatever it is that you're doing. I mean, if I'm going to put someone in a helicopter. If it's a real helicopter, I expect most people will feel a little bit ill if they fly it too hard right away.
Mm-hmm. The speaking of lying to your brain, I have a treadmill desk that I've been using a lot lately. And when I walk on it for some few hours, you know, 2 or 3 hours at a time while working, when I step off, there's a moment of like wrong where my feet aren't quite sure what's going on. And there's confusion because I've been walking, you know, I've walked 5 miles and gone nowhere. Do you find that after some number of hours in a Rift that you're like, gosh, that was too much? Like, you know, we'll get 6 hours. That's my limit.
I haven't really pushed it that much so far, but I haven't really felt like that. And if I'm starting to feel like that, I'm going to look at tweaking my game or tweaking what I'm working on so it doesn't feel like that. And I have been doing that a lot this week as I demoed what I was working on, this Rift Chopper. It's what I think is the world's most fun helicopter simulation. It's as I started to make it, I made it very fast and very responsive. And I noticed that people were getting a little bit nauseated at first. So I tuned it down and made it fly like a more like a heavier helicopter and made it a little bit slower, and the experience went away, the trouble went away. So you have to take into account people's experiences.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to harp on the negative, but I do think about that kind of stuff because I have small kids, and I think about if it's going to change everything. Are we going to see like if you ever read the book Snow Crash, how they describe virtual reality in that book? It does make one wonder if we'll find a class of people, or even Surrogate, where they were plugged into effectively Oculus Rifts and then remoted into other bodies, and they neglected their houses and their bodies. I mean, do you think there could be addicts that will be onto this and they'll be stuck in the Rift for, you know, days at a time?
I think there's that possibility with anything that's this entertaining or this enjoyable to that people might abuse it I mean, there are people, for instance, I love snowboarding. I love it a lot. But there are people that you call ski bums that leave their families and get rid of all of the responsibilities and just ski all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are people that have ruined lives because they ski or snowboard all the time. Now, I love snowboarding. And yes, it's possible to abuse it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that there's even 8-bit kind of Super Nintendo RPGs, and I think every once in a while, some very nice young Korean man dies because he spent 29 straight hours in a internet cafe playing Zelda. You know,
yeah.
But there's no TV shows about, like, you know, the dangers of Zelda. It sounds like if this does change everything, we're going to have local news reports on how the Rift is killing people.
I think it's exciting how the Rift opens up a lot of possibilities of beneficial experiences in the Rift, of therapeutic experiences in the Rift. I mean, for example, one of the presenters, one of the people that went up to this Boston show that I went to this weekend that inspired me to call you to tell you about it, because I went up to this Oculus event in Cambridge on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Oculus threw an event at the Microsoft Nerd Center up there. Mm-hmm. And somewhere between maybe 700 and 1,000 people signed up and just came to check out the various Rifts and to hear Palmer and the guys talk and et cetera, et cetera. And I just kind of showed up there with my computer and my own Rift. And one other guy did too. And this guy, he came up there, one other pair of guys, they brought their Rift. And what they had made, I was really impressed with. They made something that used CUDA to do the CUDA is the NVIDIA's facility for general purpose GPU programming. You can do some really powerful stuff with it. Mm-hmm. They integrated that with a Rift to make a really beautiful simulation of falling leaves. And you could lie down on a couch and put this thing on, and it was like you're lying in a forest, and leaves were just floating back and forth and coming down toward you, and it was entirely relaxing. Entirely relaxing. I can totally picture putting something like that on with a little Bach in the background, spending 15 minutes, and waking up from that, or getting up from that, way, way refreshed in a way that I don't really try to look at my computer screen to get that kind of effect. Mm-hmm. So there's that kind of thing that it can be used for. And then also there was this video going around of this elderly woman who has cancer, and she can't leave her house very much. She can't even leave her chair very much. So her kids got her an Oculus Rift. Actually, Oculus sent them one based upon a letter that she sent telling about the situation. And it was so cool to see her put this on and just be able to walk around in Italy, as it were, with the Tuscany demo that comes with it. And she was just so happy to be able to see butterflies flying around, have one try to land on her hand, and just seeing her smile was, I mean, it was a profound experience that I've not seen the like of when you're dealing with anything that's would be called a computer game or a video game. So I think that's really promising.
I've just reached over on my desk here and picked up a stack of Xbox games. And when you've got me thinking about the kinds of experiences that you could have if there were a Rift fully kind of immersive kind of situation, you've got the obvious, the Halos and the Crysis and the stuff like that. But I've got one here called L.A. Noir, mm-hmm. which is almost like playing a 1940s version of Law and Order, where you would literally be playing a movie. You could be the character, the main character in a movie. It seems like the Rift could add a whole lot to these kind of larger narrative, like whether it be L.A. Noir or things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite Xbox titles I haven't played in a long time, but I think it's one of the most well done, is Red Dead Redemption, where you play a cowboy who's out roaming the prairie doing different things. Mm-hmm. And as real as it is, you're still doing puppetry. It's like a marionette show, and I'm controlling someone else. Mm. And that's what I feel, even with the cinematic nature of it. I'm imparting something to another character. But this is what's so impressive about Rift experiences that are first person, is that you are stepping into that character mm-hmm. in a way that you never really have, even with all of the best games that have appeared on a two-dimensional screen.
So you're thinking that these guys are going to succeed because screen technology and resolution has reached there, because head tracking has reached there. But I said six axis and you said no. What is the missing axis that we're not capturing today?
Okay, to be clear, we're talking about the actual six axis, not the brand six axis, which also makes some
yes.
controllers.
Sorry, when okay. I say six axis, I just mean, so if
six
I turn my head,
freedom.
Yeah, exactly. I turn my head left to right, it recognizes
yes.
that. I look up and down.
Yes.
What if I strafe? What if I just kind of move my head sideways?
The Rift does not currently, the development kit does not currently pick that up. However, they are working on this very, very much, and I do anticipate that that will be out. I believe they've even said that it will be out in the next developer kit, that it will be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure of that, but it is coming, and it will add another dimension, actually, that will be will make it even better than is now. Because right now, it only detects the rotation of your head and neck, but you don't normally sit there and just rotate your head and neck without moving your body. You move your body around. And so right now, if you just rock your body back and forth in the Rift, nothing happens. The world kind of comes with you instead of you moving through the world.
Mm.
So moving around a lot is a sure way to kind of break your sense of immersion. And so that's just one example of the things that, the limitations of it right now, but it's the limitations of, I mean, this is a development kit. This is like not even the version 1.0 product.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to accelerate so fast starting now. And it's even with these limitations, like not being able to move back and forth,
mm-hmm.
It's really amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like that would add another dimension, for lack of another word, to games where you're kind of trying to sneak around or dodge or look around a corner.
Mm-hmm.
That would add a level of realism that we haven't seen before.
Yes, there are YouTube videos of people doing experiments where they're using something called the Razer Hydra, which actually they don't even make anymore. It's these controllers you hold in your hands,
mm-hmm.
and they detect your position. So there are people online that have figured out that they can strap one of these to their chest and plug it into certain games, and now they can duck behind cover.
Nice.
And it's really cool.
Yeah. You made a comment about the woman who was in the Tuscany demo. She's wandering, an older lady wandering around Italy, and a butterfly lands on her hand. In the Rift, though, the Rift can't see your hands or know where your hands are. So I've seen Kickstarters coming around that are kind of augmenting, no pun intended, the Rift with, how is it going to see your hands? How is it going to know that your hands are there? Well, maybe you wear gloves, or maybe you wear sensors, or maybe you have something on your fingertips. What about those things? Because if I put my hands in front of my face in a Rift, I don't see my hands, correct?
Yes, and it's a really kind of an eerie sensation, because your brain is expecting to see your hand and doesn't see it, and it's definitely an interesting sensation. So yeah, there are various people working on various solutions to this. I think one of the most exciting that I've seen, and there's a Kickstarter for it, is called the STEM, STEM, and it's also using the what they call the it's called the Oh, before I said it was six axis. The one I'm thinking of, they're actually, it's called Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Sixth Sense. Yeah. Sixense. And that I think is very, very promising. Mm-hmm. They're going to do it or someone else is going to do it. And then someone's going to do it better. And so it's only a matter of time. I think a year from now, there will be a workable solution to the hands issue.
Right.
At least for most things, for most gaming.
For people who are deeply into the VR world, it seems to me, and I'm not deeply, but I'm a fan, that today there's three things that you need to get the closest you can to Snow Crash and into a virtual world. You need the Rift developer kit. You need the Sixense STEM, which is like a Wii on steroids. You know what I mean? It's a super powerful two-handed controller. And then you need a thing called an Omni treadmill from Virtuix, which is also a Kickstarter. What is the idea of a three-dimensional treadmill, and why would that add something?
Well, this is really cool. And I've not seen one of these in person, so I'm not sure exactly how well it delivers and what it says it does, but apparently it works. Basically, it's a little thing that you set in your room in front of your, well, you don't even have to put it in front of your screen. There is no screen anymore. Next to your Rift, and it's a little circular enclosure that you stand in. And at the bottom of it is something that kind of reminds me of one of those saucer sleds. You ever go sledding and you go in one of those round saucers? It's kind of like that you step in something that looks sort of like a saucer, and it has some sort of grooves on it, and it can rotate around, and then you wear special shoes that have little slots on them or little pegs on them that fit in these grooves, and somehow this whole system makes it so that you can reliably, with the Rift on, walk forward and also walk in any direction. So you could turn left and turn right. And as far as you can tell from your feeling, it feels like you're walking around an infinitely large space. Now, I don't know how it handles running, and I don't know how easy it is to get tripped up, mm-hmm. but even if it just sort of works, that's a pretty cool idea. And I think this is more than sort of works. I think it really does.
Yeah, yeah. And to your point, they're going to keep doing this over and over. We're so close. We're like, I think we've solved the 80% problem. And they're going to spend the next 10 years running towards the last 20%.
Yeah, and I'm also really excited about the whole Kickstarter phenomena in all this. I mean, Kickstarter was huge in launching Oculus. And now every other day, I find out about a new Kickstarter that some small group of guys putting their efforts together to make something that adds to the overall picture of what's possible in immersive VR. So we're not waiting just for Sony to see what they're going to do. We're waiting to see what this next group of guys in the garage is going to do to add to it. And there's more of these things every day, and it's accelerating. So it's a really exciting time like that.
So you're writing a helicopter simulator. What are you writing it in?
I am using Unity 3D. Which just briefly is a authoring environment for making games. Its main claim to fame and before the Rift is that you can make your game once in Unity and then publish it to all the many platforms, Mac, PC, iOS, Android, etc. But the reason I'm using Unity right now is because the Rift comes with an amazing integration piece so that you can literally drag and drop one thing into your scene, and all of a sudden you're looking around in that scene. And I want to give a shout out to Peter at Oculus. He's the guy that's doing this there, and he's in charge of the programming the Unity integration, and he's done such an amazing job in taking all the details away, such that normally you would have to, with something like the Rift, you'd have to program to an SDK and write some C++ code to handle all the head tracking. With this, I can make a compelling Oculus Rift experience in Unity 3D in under 5 minutes. 5 minutes. I did it the other day at work. I did file new project in Unity, okay. And then I just dragged in a terrain object, which I had downloaded. I mean, I will have said that I have some content. You know, I have a terrain that I downloaded from the Unity Asset Store. And I just dragged it into my field, and that terrain has basic collision detection on it, because these Unity assets come nicely rigged like that. And then I just dragged the Oculus player controller onto the middle of the field, let it go, it drops to the ground, I hit play, put the Rift on, give someone the controller, and they're walking around a voxel terrain with the sky and everything in the Rift. 5 minutes. Maybe 3 minutes.
Well, so pushing back a little bit, you're saying that Hello World is trivial now.
Yes. What they give you, what you can drag and drop into the world is the whole structure which allows you to put the Rift on and look around in any direction. And also, they've attached it to a basic player that you can control with an Xbox controller for a first-person type experience. Mm-hmm. So literally, any bright 12-year-old could have something working in Unity with the Rift within several hours of having the Rift and Unity, assuming he's maybe done a few Unity tutorials in the week ahead of that, mm-hmm. just to get kind of acclimated with what Unity is. But it's easy. It's literally child's play now. So I'm making a helicopter game in it.
Uh-huh. So if the Hello World child's play, you know, like walking around an island demo is that easy now. You said that you worked on your helicopter and you had an initial version of that working in basically a day.
Bit less than a day. It was a Saturday afternoon. I started a new project, and I started around 2 p.m., and I had a demo, which is actually still up on my YouTube page. It's the first video I posted this a week ago. That was the result of about four or five hours of work in Unity. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you exactly what I did, if you want to know, or whatever detail
you want. Yeah, if you wouldn't mind. I mean, we've only got a few more minutes here, but give me hour by hour what you did.
Okay. Basically, I had to first get a set. So I went out and got I found a really good city, and you can find all these things on the Unity Asset Store. There's a great store there to buy things relatively inexpensively. So I pulled a city in, and now I wanted to fly around that city. So I go out to the Unity store and buy the helicopter physics controller kit, which you literally drag and drop into the city that I just made. And now you got a helicopter in there that has basic controls, sort of like you'd find in a Battlefield game. So then all I had to do is drag the Oculus integration piece into the world and basically put it in the front seat of the helicopter. And that was about it. Then the rest of the time was spent doing things like putting image effects.
So the Unity store just has assets that are just there to be bought.
Yes. And yes.
And but who did the work? Like, you're saying that you can make a game in 5 hours, but someone must have put a huge amount of work in making a city.
Someone did, but that's what I mean when I say I made a game in 5 hours. The way to make games now, I'm telling the average indie developer, is not to specialize in every little thing, but rather to synthesize from whatever you can find that other people have made as your starting points. There's so much out there that, particularly with the Rift now, is ripe for being turned into a really compelling experience, and you can just take it. Like this helicopter thing. I just took the helicopter, but I was the first one to put a Rift in the front seat of it. Uh-huh. So now it's a first-person game, and now that city is something I'm flying over in first-person perspective. And then I start putting image effects and cloud layers in, and different sort of fisheye effects, and then line drawing effects to make it look like Borderlands 2 or Mirror's Edge. And all these things, none of them took too much effort on their own, but they were... together, you end up with an experience that, Scott, I'm telling you, when I say that, I've never seen so much happiness on people's faces as when I took this game up to Cambridge in Massachusetts in the Oculus event and set it up, and I've never seen such expressions of happiness when someone was playing a video game as I did when for 5 hours I let one person after another try this thing. Mm-hmm. Just say, here, try this thing I'm working on. And people just loved it. And I'm seeing them look all over, look down, look left, look right. Mm-hmm. And they are flying a helicopter over a city. They're doing that. And the response was tremendous. It's really inspiring and makes me want to just go further with it.
So we can see you basically are uploading every few days the work that you're doing on Rift Chopper up at your YouTube channel. And I'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah.
Can we play this now? I mean, do you have any downloads?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been submitting it to YouTube and posting it to Reddit every time I'm done with a particular point. So that first day, I put 0.1 up, and then I got feedback from people, mm-hmm. and I put 0.2 and 0.3, and I fully intend on making this into something that has gameplay associated with it, mm-hmm. and has something actually to do other than just fly around. Mm-hmm. But for right now, it's just a lot of fun just to fly around in this world.
And you'll give me the links to that so people who are fortunate enough to have a Rift can check this out?
Absolutely.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much, James Andrew, for sharing your excitement around the Oculus Rift and Unity.
All right, Scott, thanks.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.